I'm Chris from Nerd Alert News, a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of the individual host. Check out all the other great podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You have been granted clearance by Director Phil Coulson. Stand by for SHIELD debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the SHIELD director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Stephen Jondrew.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe podcast, number 114, discussing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Season 3, Episode 14, titled Watchdogs. This podcast is recorded on Wednesday, March 30th, 2016. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agent Carter, Marvel's Daredevil, and Jessica Jones on Netflix, and the general Marvel comic universe.
Because Axe Shotgun!
If you would like to talk to us about the Axe Shotgun, you can check out our website, legendsofshield.com, where you'll find all of our contact information. You can hit us up on our voicemail line. That way we can hear your lovely voice. 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. You can also hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and YouTube by searching for Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or you can check out the Gunna Geek page at youtube.com/GunnaGeek, and you can find all of the other podcasts on the network at GunnaGeek.com.
All right, so we know what you're thinking right now. You're thinking, who is this guy? Why is he here? Where is SP? Truthfully, I wanted to talk about the CW television show The Flash, but since SP has me under contract where I'm not allowed to do any other podcasts aside from ones that he's on, I thought I would hijack this episode so that Haley and I could talk some Flash.
So we're just going to talk about The Flash this whole time. It'll be great.
Yeah, I'm just going to sit here and nod because I'm really behind on The Flash.
No, he's away this week. He'll be back next week. I think something about stalking and restraining orders from Agent 13, something about that. I think the bail's pretty low, though, so he should be back next week.
Everybody chip in a nickel. Then we will all own a nickel's worth of SP.
Which, I think that's 100% ownership, so...
Well, I am Stephen Jondrew, and I have been on the show a couple of times before. I was invited on by these nice ladies to fill in while SP was away. I will do my best not to put out terrible terms like cancellation canary, and I will do my best to try to redeem myself from that, but my apologies in advance.
Yeah, you're kind of going to have to do some pretty good work to make up for that, because low blow, man, low blow.
I know, but I'm so excited that I was wrong on that, by the way. That was super exciting to hear, and I am a huge fan of that show, of Agent Carter, so it's great to see.
Yes.
So this time on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we are going to, of course, talk about the episode called The Watchdogs? The Watchdogs? Yeah, that's right.
No, the Just Watchdogs.
Just Watchdogs. Sorry, I put a "the" in there, but that's my apologies. Then we're going to talk a little bit of other Marvel news. We're also going to get a little bit of a tease of some happenings that Lauren has this coming weekend. And of course, as always, there will be highlights from the live chat room. As a reminder, this podcast is on the GunnaGeek.com website, as well as the video companion found on the Gunna Geek YouTube channel, which you can find at youtube.com/GunnaGeek. And I'm going to turn it over to these nice ladies to follow up for the giveaway that we had last week, because there was a bit of an amendment to that, wasn't there?
So we did the Deadpool crate giveaway, and the competition was the blind date between Deadpool and Peggy Carter. And Born to Eat Bacon sent us an awesome script, which we performed live on the podcast 2 weeks ago. Is that when we did this?
I believe so. Might have been a week ago. I don't know. When you podcast, everything just blurs together.
But at the time, I played the role of Peggy Carter and Lauren played Deadpool. Well, after winning his prize, Born to Eat Bacon sent us a little gift, which is a continuation of that script. And we decided this time we'll switch roles.
All right, so who's going to start us off here first?
You have to do the narration, and then we do the parts.
You do the stage directions.
Oh, you want me to do the stage directions? Oh, sorry. I apologize. Okay.
Put on your theater voice.
Here we go. Ahem, ahem. Peggy heads off on her mission with Deadpool upside down in the passenger seat.
Is there a reason you are sitting like that, Mr. Poole?
Thought it might make you less boring, or at least afford me a glance up your skirt. Wink, wink.
You want less boring? You'll love our target, or my target, darn.
Oh, you mean you really are after an assassin? Thought you were blowing me off. Cool. Who is he? Can I kill him?
He is a she, and she is named Dottie.
Seriously?
Yes.
You blew me off to intercept a deadly assassin named Dottie? Dottie?
Dottie is a trained Black Widow assassin. Extremely deadly and, well, nothing?
Peggy turns off the headlights, then the engine, and coasts to a stop without engaging the brake lights.
We're here?
Deadpool exclaims as he spins around in his seat.
Yes. Now stay in the car, Mr. Poole. I can't be responsible for your safety.
Oh, yes. My safety. Of course. Wink, wink. Nudge, nudge. Carry on. Quite right, Governor.
Stay in the car. Or I will... You myself. Got it, Mr. Poole? I assume you mean kill.
Sorry, were you saying something?
Howard, by all that's holy, I will end you.
Peggy exits the car and heads towards the building. Bravo, Born to Eat Bacon, bravo. An amazing piece that I personally would like to see hitting Netflix soon. That's my thoughts.
I hope we get to reprise our roles in the Netflix series.
I don't see why not, but I think, though, you might be tied up a little bit when Marvel does hire you as writers, because I heard that that's happening.
Yeah, it's in the works, I'm sure. They're going to call any day now.
I mean, if they know what's good for them, we're here. We got ideas.
Absolutely. Well, I have a feeling that will not be the last that we will hear from Born to Eat Bacon, and I look forward to the next chapter. And now that I've said that, that means you have to do it if you weren't planning on doing it, right? All right, well, let's just dive into the main content here and get into Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., this week's episode titled Watch Dogs. There's no the in there. Who was it directed by, Haley?
Jesse Bochco, who has done several episodes already of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Girl in the Flower Dress, Heavy as the Head, Love in the Time of Hydra, and 4,722 Hours.
And I think we mentioned this before when we talked about one of those previous episodes. He's also Stephen Bochco's son.
I'm sure we did.
And it was written by who, Lauren?
Drew Z. Greenberg, who has also written the episodes Face My Enemy, Who You Really Are, Among Us Hide, and several more.
This episode, it was a pretty amazing episode considering what it was coming off of. In my opinion, that was a very hard last scene to follow last week. And for me, this episode knocked it out of the park. It had a great balance of emotion. And also, you could still feel the inner conflict of Mac that was residual from the previous episode. I thought it was a well-done episode all around. How about you?
Not as good as last week's, but that would be hard to top.
I really loved it. I was so glad that we got to see so much of Mac. I really like Mac, and I loved seeing this conflict between him and his brother, the strain that's been going on between his personal life and his professional life, because everyone that we've seen, really, we don't really see all that much of a personal life. We see either they're orphans or all they are really is a professional life. And with him, I mean, he has this younger brother that doesn't know about what he does and who is kind of as non-sympathetic to it as you could think, considering that he's kind of prime targets for the Watchdog's propaganda. You know that Mac wants to say, hey, you're wrong and this is why, because I know this because I have all this information that you don't, but he can't because it's a secret. And then, of course, we get to see the interplay between Sky and a little bit of Mac, but mostly of Sky and her growing up and Coulson and Lincoln. And it's a good episode of people kind of rebuilding and refinding their place on the team now that Bobby and Hunter are gone.
I agree. And for me, I thought that part of the great emotional movement that I felt from this episode was not just with Mac. It was actually with Daisy and sort of the conflict between her and Mac, but also just the general sense that I think she does really have more growing to do because she's making these decisions which aren't really for the good of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of dug into her identity as an Inhuman, and it seems like her character is so drastically different from who she was before, where, you know, she was opposed to the government and fighting the government and trying to get all these secrets out in the open and things like that. And now she's totally Big Brother. She's like, well, I can track down their identities. It doesn't matter if they think they're anonymous.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching the episode and I'm thinking back to the first time we see Skye, when she's the one who's trying to track down these government figures, because it's like, the way I put it yesterday was information wants to be free, but she's very much like the definition of the hacker for good. And here you see her being like, these people don't need to know this stuff, and essentially torturing somebody. Like, she went a little bit too Jack Bauer. You know, I wasn't really comfortable with it. Mac wasn't comfortable with it. Fitz doesn't really look comfortable with it.
No, and that's the part for me where I'm just like, okay, I'll Jack Bauer you for a while, but now you're using Fitz because you know he's not going to say anything, and you put him in harm's way. Like, oh, come on, come on. That was when...
Don't do that to my science babies.
I know. Now Daisy, I don't know. I might just have to call her Skye in protest.
Daisy is not the same person as Skye. I mean, Skye was innocent. Daisy is seeing some stuff. I'm starting to think back, like, when did she have this turn in her character? Was it after the Hydra reveal? Was it after the Inhumans reveal? Was it after she realized what her mother was really like? Or was it just kind of a slow buildup and we didn't really realize it until faced with, like, this situation?
Yeah, and I think that that's a very interesting point that you make there, is when did this happen? Because it does seem like it was somewhat rapid.
Mm-hmm. Well, I feel like it's the frog boiling thing. You know, they say that you boil a frog slowly because it won't notice, like, small incremental changes in temperature. And I feel like maybe this was the small incremental changes in character. Michelle Ely in the chat brought up Ward. Yeah, I think Ward and realizing all the stuff that Ward did and just having that very personal betrayal.
Yeah.
Definitely brought about, helped to bring about this change in her character.
And then again, being betrayed, like finding the parents that she's been looking for so long. And then it turning out that one of them is completely evil and the other is not so good.
Yeah, no, that's good point, and it does all add up there. And I think, like, for me, this episode, it really was an emotional episode, because these aren't the only sort of people that we get this emotional sort of conflict resolution, or not even resolution, but just handling. You've also got the whole Mae Simmons, very candid, open sort of feeling dialogue between the two of them.
Yeah, you have Simmons dealing with her just tremendous survivor's guilt.
Yeah.
And Mae trying to help her in her own very Mae way.
It's true, but I think we see sort of the result of Mae's emotional journey that she's been on here is, for a little bit, it looked like, okay, so what, she's just gone hands up, who cares about Andrew? But we see that this is something that has been weighing on her for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we just haven't seen what she's been doing. So pretty interesting there. The other sort of thing that I really, it stood out to me on this here, and I don't know necessarily as good thing or not, but did anybody get the feeling that, yep, it's Marvel movie time, because we got so many movie drops in this? We had the Avengers reference, we had Ultron reference, we had New York directly talked about. Like, it's definitely ramping up to Marvel movie time.
Yeah, and they're getting ready to drive this into Civil War. I think SP said this before, we're getting ready for them to establish the roots of this Civil War that's going to be happening. While there's the big screen Civil War, we're going to see the same kind of conflict probably in the TV show.
Yeah. I really loved seeing it all ramping up. I forget who it was in the comments on Twitter was saying that it really, really looks like, yeah, we are ramping up to Civil War and seeing that playing out here on the small screen. And again, I love it. I love knowing that we're watching this small part of a larger connected universe.
Yeah.
Just the nerd in me is just very happy with that.
So while I'm watching this last night, I have a couple of things cross my mind. And one of is that we've got still this obvious hatred towards S.H.I.E.L.D. that is a result of the Cap 2 events. Then we also have this Inhumans imbalance on the show and an obvious amount of mass public who is a little bit afraid of Inhumans. And now we have Daisy, who is pushing the envelope, as you said, going Jack Bauer. Do we get the feeling she might end up falling out of S.H.I.E.L.D.? That wasn't a thing that crossed my mind. Is she might be headed down that territory and that path that she now takes on almost a little bit of a villainous role.
I don't know about villainous, but she might go rogue for a while.
Yeah, she's definitely taking on a much darker role. It could be interesting to see her leave S.H.I.E.L.D. for a while. I don't see her becoming like an antagonist. But after the events of whatever confrontation happens with Ward, whatever big thing Civil War and however it's going to affect Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is building up to, I can kind of see her maybe striking out on her own for a while, deciding that they're not doing enough to help Inhumans, and then maybe eventually having to kind of come running back home to her, you know, parents, effectively, for help.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, okay, did it really, really seem like Coulson was giving Lincoln, like, the shovel talk here? The boyfriend meets dad talk?
I thought so. I thought a little bit, yeah. And especially the part that he drops there, he's like, so you're doing this for Daisy. And I got that feeling too. But I did like the way he handled it, right? Like he originally comes in, and I don't believe for a second that Coulson wasn't for a moment there thinking that it was indeed Felix. Is that his name, Felix?
Felix Blake.
Yeah, Felix Blake's. So when he comes down to that underground, whatever it is, basement, I think that, yeah, for sure, he thought that that was really Felix Blake. And then he quickly determines what's going on, and maybe not quickly, but he determines. I love how he continues to use that scenario to really test Lincoln.
I feel like some of that exchange between him and Blake was him kind of testing out the theory. Like, okay, will Blake move? Will Blake do this? Poke and prod at him.
Yeah.
And like you said, he couldn't go like 2 seconds without interrupting you. So he's testing for the lag.
It's typical Coulson, right? Because he takes sees a situation that is surprising to him, and he still goes with his original idea, which was to really test Lincoln. That's why he brought Lincoln along. And he makes the best out of it. And I actually got a little bit more respect for Lincoln because he did stand up for Blake. What he thought was Blake, right? So to me, Lincoln grew. I didn't really like Lincoln, and I'm starting to like him a little bit, and I could actually see him eventually coming around and being the one that talks down Daisy.
I could definitely see that. Because, okay, if we go again with the whole Papa Coulson, Mama May thing, kids don't always listen to their parents. Kids are going to screw up. They're going to hit a rock bottom point, and they're going to have to either find it on their own, or they're going to, like, have a peer be the one to tell them, look, you messed up. I've seen it with myself. I've seen it with my friends. I've seen it with my sister. I've seen it, you know, just over and over and over again. You never listen to your parents until it's too late and you're older and you realize, oh, maybe they did know what they're talking about. Daisy right now is basically at angry teenager state emotionally. And whatever happens in the future, I'm seeing that kind of dynamic play out.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think that the whole Daisy Inhuman conflict is going to get a lot more prominent the next season. That's my opinion on where it's going. What do you think about that, Haley?
Maybe. It depends on what they decide to do with Civil War, because they might resolve a lot of this with Civil War. And then that gives them the opportunity going forward to delve into kind of the mythology of Inhumans and go back to the royal family, which is what I'm looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What other highlights did you two have on your list there?
Shotgun X.
Yes, as soon as he picked up that cleaver, I was like, oh, it's happening.
Yes. I love how on Twitter at that moment, everybody in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. hashtag just exploded. It was amazing. Just everybody.
Yeah, that I had wished that I had watched that live. I don't usually get to watch them live because I have a three-year-old who sometimes might be traumatized by some of the things on
there. You have a three-year-old who is a three-year-old.
Exactly. And might reenact some of the things.
Who doesn't need to see Mac take a guy down with a meat cleaver?
Exactly, exactly. So when I saw that, I actually got on Twitter and I started to scan for things that had been out a couple hours before, and it was amazing.
Yes, it was fabulous. Everyone was just so happy. And see, the thing is, like, seriously, ever since, like, what is it? Like, every week it gets brought up. If not by one of us, then in the chat.
Yeah.
And it happened. And it finally happened. It's Chekhov's axe shotgun.
Exactly, exactly. Haley, what did you have?
One other thing. Coulson said that Blake was a good man. Wasn't he kind of an asshole last time we met him?
He was. He was a total dick.
Yeah.
Okay, just checking. I couldn't remember the specifics, but I thought that was correct.
I mean, maybe what by he meant was a good man, they meant like 20 years ago when they first joined S.H.I.E.L.D. But no, he was definitely a dick.
This was my memory of him, because I remembered him being on the show. And then I remembered being like, you know what? His character on the show reminds me a lot of his character back when he was, what was it, Commander Lieutenant Burke or something on Voyager. Like, I remember thinking that they both were dicks. And, you know, to me, he was very not dick-like. Well, before we do wrap up our talk on this here, I just wanted to point out one other thing, too, that is becoming a regular theme in television shows, not just comic shows. You know, it also happened on The Walking Dead. Apparently, weapons are bringing families together. Have we noticed this?
Well, I mean, they're fun.
Yeah, I don't know. That made me smile a little bit because Mac and his brother were so locking heads or whatever you call it. And there you go. They have to use some axe guns. And what happens? Family love. It's reunited, right?
Yeah.
And it feels so good.
I really love, you know, that part. It's when the watchdogs bust in and Mac's little mini Mac, like Sky calls him at the end, is like freaking out. And then all of a sudden he sees, you know, our Mac, Big Mac, you know, take charge. And he's seeing the side of his brother he never has before. And he gives him, it's like, have you ever used one of these? An assault rifle?
And I have to give this show credit because he doesn't actually hit his target properly. For once, somebody with no experience does not hit their target as it should be. So kudos to you on that.
You know who is hitting the target, though, is Simmons.
The first time I used an assault rifle, I did hit the target not very well. Also, I hurt my shoulder.
Did you hit a bunch of other stuff that wasn't the target as well?
Oh, I hit like the back wall, but you know, it's okay if you hit that at a gun range.
You ladies have anything else to add in here?
I don't think so. We didn't talk at all about the nitramine, but I don't particularly care about it, so that's fine.
Yeah, it's it was brought up on Twitter. It's a tie back to season one of Agent Carter. It's possibly one of the first direct kind of plot callbacks between the two shows.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that what blew up the S.H.I.E.L.D. director? Or not S.H.I.E.L.D., but SSR? No?
Yeah.
Oh, it was?
Well, it's the stuff that, like, imploded the dairy farm place.
Oh, okay, right,
yeah. To me, it felt a little forced, and maybe it's going somewhere else, but I don't know. I honestly forgot about it.
Also, something that bugged me, just, again, science does not work this way, when she's spraying the liquid nitrogen on, like, the weird glowy bit.
It would burn the shit out of his skin.
He would be so burned, and it would not, I mean, you don't just mist it like that. That's not how you work liquid nitrogen. I mean, can't you just get, like, you know, the Dr. Scholl's freeze off and just kind of like apply it, like, you know, pressing it,
or like those things that freeze off warts or something.
Yeah, just PSA, do not spray liquid nitrogen at people. Okay, you don't do that. You're going to cause serious injury.
Well, two things on that. Number one, would be an amazing scene seeing them go to the pharmacy to pick up some Dr. Scholl's. That would be awesome.
Just pick up all the Dr. Scholl's warts away. Freeze off stuff.
Second thing, we don't know. Maybe it was Fitz's time on the planet. His body chemistry is different now. So that's what I'm going to go
BS.
With. I'll agree with you on that.
He should, like, by all rights, like, from his cheek to his shoulder.
He should look like Zuko.
Yeah, he should. Honor.
Yeah. All right, Haley, why don't you close us up with some quotes that you've got?
Okay, I've only got like two, and one of them's not funny.
All right.
Since I'm practically the only woman here who can't kill with her bare hands.
Oh.
And, Reuben, I'm a mechanic. I hate this stuff.
Those are both kind of sad.
Well, yeah.
The first one that I had written down was, thank you, Nerd Herd. I'm going to go call Coulson. I like that one. I also liked, have you been working out? Because it weighs like 100,000 tons. It's a building. Which was responded to, so no then? And then my favorite of the night was, so you just being a for no reason? That was fun. There was a few good quotes in there, but yeah, there's been better quotes throughout the duration of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, it wasn't the most quotable episode, but it was a pretty good episode.
It was. It was.
Again, I'm just happy to have episodes that are like bring Mac into it. I like Mac. We need more Mac. Especially now that Bobby and Hunter are, you know, off.
Aww. You make me all sad now again, reminding me of that. Well, next time I'll say we for the podcast, but we will be covering Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. episode 15 of season 3, titled Space Time.
Oh, and we'll be back on our Jessica Jones rewatch, watching episode 7, aka Top Shelf Perverts.
That's right. Before we do head in to the news items this week, just want to remind you that we are part of, there I go with the we again, we are part of the Gonna Geek Network, which has a variety of amazing geeky podcasts, including one where you can get your SP fix titled Better Podcasting. It's all about podcasting. If you've ever wanted to podcast before, you can hop over to GunnaGeekNetwork.com and check out episode 21 of Better Podcasting titled Podcast Budgets Sustain, where the crew over there are going to talk about possible costs you might incur sustaining your podcast. Check out that and all the other amazing geeky podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Perhaps a light news week this week, but we did have a couple of points here still to discuss. Haley, why don't you go ahead and start us off?
So, Marvel's Most Wanted has done some more casting. Oh, hey, it's Lauren's favorite.
Yeah, I'm really, really happy about this. So, you know how every time we bring up Doctor Strange, I'm like, you know who'd be a good Doctor Strange? Odin Fair. So guess who's joining Marvel's Most Wanted?
Who?
Would it maybe be Oded Fair?
Oded Fair! Also, we're getting Fernanda Andrade from The Devil Inside. Oded Fair is, his role is described only as a well-known character from the Marvel comics who will prove a force to be reckoned with, so presumably he's a bad guy. And Fernanda Andrade is playing Cristina Santos, the tough-as-nails niece of Dominic Fortune, who, again, is going to be played by, I blanked out, Delroy Lindo.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I'm trying to think of what well-known character he will be playing.
I know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
But I'm looking forward to knowing who he's cast as, and I'm looking forward to having him on my TV, like, for several weeks.
Okay, so I think what we should do here, because I know you're so, so excited about this casting, I think you should take this moment here to do a pitch tease and just allude to who the character might be, even though you don't know. You should hype it up. I think you can do that on the spot, right, Lauren?
So, who I think he should play if he's not Doctor Strange, I think he should be the captain. And y'all have no clue who I'm talking about. Okay,
No.
Y'all need to read Warren Ellis's Next Wave. The captain is a character who, well, his actual captain nickname got him punched by Captain America. So now he just goes by the captain. His uniform is basically just a t-shirt and, you know, jeans. Mm-hmm. And he can, you know, he has like the super strength, the invulnerability, and he's just basically a jerk. He's a huge jerk. That's his thing. And I want him to just be like walking around and punching people. And yeah, just like Red Thick in the chat said, bring in like aspects from the Next Wave team and just have them be complete and utter jerks, kind of antagonizing Bobby and Hunter, who are trying to do things seriously.
I like that.
And just have it be like this kind of spy off with kind of a Deadpool feel to it, but then at the same time, kind of like an Ocean's 11 feel to it.
That'd be fun. I could get on board with that. I like that. Well, again, another reason why Marvel should hire you. We should start a tally.
Mic
drop.
That's
what we should do. Well, that's interesting. All right. Who had the Hawkeye fan film news here?
That was me. I watched this earlier. There is a fan film. It's on IO9. We're linking to it in the show notes. And it's a fan film and a pretty well done one based on the Matt Fraction, David Aja run on Hawkeye, the Hawkeye comics. And it's got the look. It's got the tone. It's a lot of fun. It's got the dog. It's got Lucky the pizza dog. And it's about 7.5 minutes, 8 minutes long. And it's completely worth watching if you're a fan of that series.
That's awesome. That's great. How long's it been out? When did it get released?
I don't know. The story just showed up on IO9 today.
Hmm. I like fan films. They're always fun. They're good. I'll have to check this out. I'm going to bookmark that now.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay, so this next story I also found. I go to this website. Oh, no, they didn't. They're kind of a gossip site, and it's my guilty pleasure. Elephant in the Room, Batman vs. Superman came out this past week, and the critic reaction was less than stellar.
And let's just preface this, by the way. None of us three have watched the film yet.
No. None of us have seen it. So I just know what I've heard. And one of the things that I have heard is that there is a conspiracy theory that started up that Marvel was paying people to trash the movie. One of the Oh No They Didn't posters decided to investigate this shocking rumor. The poster is the Sugar Man. And uncovered several disturbing facts about the studio's financial affairs that makes me very doubtful of the fact that they would actually pay somebody to trash a movie. And also is possibly the reason they have not hired Haley or me yet. They don't like to pay for bathrooms. Marvel headquarters have only one bathroom per gender for their several hundred employees. Marvel doesn't like to pay for directors. We've mentioned this before. The Russo brothers have said they've earned more money directing the TV show Community than directing Winter Soldier. And of course, we mentioned that Joss Whedon earned more from Dr. Horrible than from directing the Avengers. This one was one of my favorites. Marvel doesn't like to pay for catering. Marvel CEO at the premiere of Iron Man, Ike Perlmutter, ordered that only potato chips be served to save money. And at one Avengers promotional event, famished journalists raided the nearby screening of the 5-year engagement, which was better stocked. There's some other stuff, but it's all kind of hilarious.
Yeah. I want to know who started this rumor because it is out there.
People love conspiracy theories, like the whole, the recent Bernie Sanders thing, the bird that landed on Bernie Sanders' podium. There's a conspiracy theory about that. People are like, it's a trained bird. I'm like, there's conspiracy theories for everything. It's amazing.
I would believe that more than I would believe this Marvel paying thing.
Yeah, Marvel, what kind of cheap bastards? I'm sorry.
They haven't hired you yet. There's your proof alone, right?
And we're cheap.
And I work for beer, so.
What's interesting about this is that the only thing that I can see why this maybe got some level of movement was the fact that right when it came out, the Rotten Tomato meter versus the critic meter were very opposite. They were very, very opposite. So it was very odd, the difference that we were seeing. And my understanding is it's leveled out now quite a bit compared after more people have seen it and more people have not liked it. But it's a good conspiracy. And I'll endorse it. Why not? You know, I don't believe it, but I like conspiracies. You're right.
Yeah, conspiracy theories are fun.
And another conspiracy that has come up as of recent is that Tom Hiddleston is claiming that Thor 3 will indeed be the last Hiddleston appearance. He's quoted as saying, Thor 3 will be cool because I've not done it in 4 years. I love working with Chris. This will be my last time out of the gate. And the conspiracy theory is that looking for the bigger paycheck because everybody likes Hiddleston and Loki is an amazing, amazing character in the whole universe. So I don't foresee it personally being his last. I would be very surprised, but it'll make me have a little sad tear if that is the case.
Yeah, for those who weren't in the chat, I just held up my Sir Thomas Sharp from Crimson Peak Pop Funko because I don't have a Loki Pop Funko.
You know, they've killed Loki at the end of every Thor movie and it hasn't stuck yet. So
pretty much.
I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah, that's true. That's a very good point.
Yeah, and considering he basically does seem to be like some combination of Loki and a real life Disney prince, I kind of wouldn't doubt if this is not true.
Honestly, it would be okay for me to see him shelved for even a while longer than we've had him shelved because he was used back to back a couple of times and he is a very good character and I don't want to see it overplayed, but I don't want to see him gone forever.
No, just bring him back when we've all missed him a very long time. There is a Loki. Michelle Ealy brought up, kill Loki and bring him back in his horse form. There's another Loki. We can have kid Loki. We can have woman Loki. We can have horse Loki. We can have, there's a wealth of Loki. There's a cat Loki in the comics. And Thor is like, change back. And he's like, no. This is canon. This is absolutely 100% canon. Oh, and there was One Direction Loki. There is a plethora of Lokis to choose from.
By the way, in the chat, we have a question here. If you weren't watching the visual version of the show, I held up my little Loki action figure, and I am being asked what action figures I have behind me, displayed behind me. I have Captain America, Spider-Man, Hulk, Iron Man, and there is another, I don't know, Iron something or another. I'm not going to lie. They're totally my son's toys. I stole them just to put on display tonight, so that's what I did. But you ladies have any other news points here?
No.
I don't believe so.
It's a pretty light week.
It is. All right, well, let's go ahead and move into our modified feedback. Should we do that?
Let's do it.
Sure thing.
All right. Well, it was a light week on feedback this week, wasn't it, Haley?
Yeah, I'm sure Lauren got hit up on the Twitters while she was live tweeting, though.
Yeah, we did. Thank you for everybody who, you know, watches along, tweets during, after. Andy, because of the time difference, always tweets a bit after. But we really, really like having y'all's opinions. One that made me laugh really hard was Consultant Black Adam at Star Saber said, "The Max is here." Which I really like. Instead of the shotgun axe, I mean, Max is, it just rolls off the tongue easier. We got a lot of really good comments and videos, links. Adadonna Girl Christy linked to an IO9 thing that shows, it's a fan-done supercut that shows the road to Civil War is paved with Tony Stark's good intentions. And it's really well done. And we really love getting feedback like that. Not only is it really fun to group watch stuff, when it's nice knowing that y'all think about us during the week and send us stuff. It's thank you.
We like stuff.
We like stuff.
And things.
We do.
We like things and stuff.
Now, here's a question for you, Lauren. Let's say, hypothetically, somebody was like, I just can't type the words right, and I would rather just have a conversation with you face to face. Is there a chance that they could do that?
There is a chance that they could do that. If you are a Texas person, and if you're planning to come to AggieCon this weekend, April 1st through 3rd in College Station, Texas, I will actually be on 3 panels this weekend. Yeah, I know. Let me pull up the panel schedule real quick.
Three. That's crazy.
Three panels.
That's exciting,
okay,
though.
So I am going to be all on Saturday. I am going to be on the Top 10 Video Games Through the Ages panel Saturday from 1 to 2. Feminism and Sci-Fi, Saturday 3 to 4. And Heroes of the Past today, Saturday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And I'm going to be on all of those with some really great people, including a very longtime friend of mine on the Heroes of the Past Today panel. And yeah, it's AggieCon is a really good baby's first convention. It was the first one I ever went to. I used to work at it. I used to work on it. And I'm really happy to actually be doing a panel this year, doing three panels this year. So show up. I may or may not be dressed as Helena from Orphan Black while I'm doing the panels. I will be dressed as Helena at some point this weekend. I'm just trying to decide if it would bring more or less credibility to be dressed as the killer clone during the panel.
I'm going to go with more.
Okay, it's decided. I will be the one in the big poofy blonde wig.
You just have to do Helena's voice the whole time.
Sestra.
Sestra, brother.
Well, that's great. And if you are listening to this after we record this, then it's too late. I know that this was released after AggieCon, but this is why you always want to make sure you do check out GunnaGeek.com, because there are a lot of different podcasts with a lot of different people hitting up a lot of different places. And you can definitely find out the schedule in advance so that you can stalk us. Well, before we do wrap up, we had a question in the chat, and it was one about the episode. Michelle Ely had asked, with all of the inhuman stuff on the show, will there be enough for a movie? And I think that that's a very interesting question. And since I have this opportunity to hijack your podcast, I want to officially put it out there that I think that the listeners should chime in on what they think about that, because I think it's a question that deserves a lot of thought, because that has crossed my mind as well. They've been doing a really good job with Inhumans on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, send us what you think about that via Facebook, or which actually, as soon as we're done with this, I'll go put it up on the Facebook accounts, and Twitter, email, phone, just whatever way you want to get to us with your opinion on that. Personally, I think that they still have plenty to do, especially if they do about the royal family that we're all mostly familiar with through the comics, like Black Bolt, Medusa, Lockjaw. Yeah, I think there's plenty to do kind of off-planet, because the people, it's important to remember that the Inhumans that are on Earth are the remnants of an experiment.
Yeah, I think that there is a lot of potential, but I also, honestly, this year, they did a lot of Inhuman stuff that I actually didn't think that they would be going down. I thought that that was going to wrap up pretty nicely last year, but they continued that, and they did a good job with it. So, I'm on the fence. And if you do want to call in a voicemail, we'll play it on the show. It's 844-THE-BUS-1. That's 844-843-2871. Well, ladies, I hope that I have not derailed your podcast too much. I appreciate the invite on here. It was a lot of fun and a good episode. It was one that made me think about a lot of different things and honestly, the future of this show and what direction it's going to go. So it was an honor to be on here. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah, thank you for showing up. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, again, thank you to everybody in the chat and everybody on Twitter. It's just always nice hanging out with y'all.
Yeah, thank you to everybody that's here live now heckling us. And if you would like to heckle us as well, you should tune in every Wednesday night at 9 Eastern, where we do the show live. And Star Pie will be back next week, so you could heckle him and tell him how wrong he is about everything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And that's the best time to heckle me behind my back.
Yeah,
this is true.
All right, well, that is going to walk us out here. So, for episode 114 of the Marvel, I'm trying to think the best way to word that, the Marvel Mass Universe podcast called Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm Stephen John Drew.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Agent Lauren.
Bye.
Later.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all of our contact information in other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends, Stream, or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation. No infringement is intended.
For some reason, I can't click on the circles. Usually you're able to click on the circles. They're not working for me. Not working for me. It's
you broke
popping
it.
Up and closing. I did. Canada broke it. That's true, Mad Hatter. Canada break.
Blame
everything.
Canada. Yeah, you just hover over the circles. Don't click on them.
Oh, is that why?
Yeah.
Nope, still not working for me.
Oh, nope, you broke it.
Yeah, I did. Good question. Michelle's asking if we think we will see Mac's brother again. So
I hope so.
Do we know, is he like have much acting history to him? Because if so, then I think that's
yeah,
setting it
I
up
remember,
for
you. Yeah, the first time I ever saw him was on Seventh Heaven, and he was the oldest son of the black preacher's family who had like the exact same number of kids as the main family.
Sadly, I know that theme song and I never watched the show.
I never saw it.
I used to watch it all the time.
My wife watched it a lot.
No, he's there. It happened.
Nick.
Yay.
What up?
Hey.
Yo. Hey, jerk.
Hey.
You're friends with Lauren? That shows poor judgment.
Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. He, for any of those of y'all who listened to the Strange and Unusual group of podcasts that are now on the Gunna Geek Network, mm-hmm. Nick is the voice of Uncle Lawrence and Assorted Monsters.
Yeah, a lot of them. That's kind of my shtick.
Yep.
No, I always like hesitate since I'm very behind on S.H.I.E.L.D., but you know, I'm pretty up to date with like other Marvel stuff. But my question is, do you think with the Inhumans movie, they're going to take the opportunity to get Ms. Marvel in there or any of the others considering?
Well, Ms. Marvel was pulled temporarily, wasn't it?
Captain Marvel? No, it just got rearranged.
Yeah, and it's going to be coming out, I think, before the Inhumans mm-hmm. movie, so there is a possibility to see her there.
March well, of the previous like, year, maybe?
I mean, the current Ms. Marvel, not Captain Marvel.
Oh, okay, sorry, I misunderstood. My apologies.
Kamala, yeah. Not Captain. Okay, yeah. I would love it if we get to see Kamala Khan on the show. Like, I'd really love it.
Yeah, it would actually be kind of cool.
Yeah, and then especially because they'd have to, I feel like they'd have to wait a while because in the comics, you know, she's really heavily inspired by Carol Danvers, who's not here yet. So they might have to make her more inspired by some other Marvel hero or by some other Inhumans or something.
Well, the Captain Marvel movie comes out before that, so maybe... Yeah. They would just have to introduce
her after.
Yeah, but
if they wanted to have her like on the show like next season or something.
Oh, yeah.
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 So Mad Hatter in the chat says, I think it may make a better miniseries of some sort, maybe on Netflix, similar to Daredevil scenario. Now,
if they wanted to do like a teen series, that'd be the best. Like if they ever did something like Kamala or Young Avengers or Runaways.
That'd be pretty cool, yeah.
I wish that they would do that and put them on Netflix or something.
I think that we're about to see Netflix continue to explode with these type of series, because I'm going to guess that the cost is a lot less for Netflix.
I bet it is.